one's hair. It is 29 minutes before 7 o'clock in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. Music from Yahanje. Don't cry. As it is time, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. As we say, a special good evening to the man, Sluggy Dan. Good evening, sir.
Manners, 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 and respect. Greetings. Thanks a lot, Barbados, for tuning in once more to the nation's number one station, your favorite show, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. In the background, we have Yahanje Daniel. Don't cry, you know, one of my absolute favorite songs this evening. We have a very special guest. You know, she's a professional. She's an expert in various areas. And let my brethren, Ollie, tell you a little about this super lady.
Okay, definitely, sir. Her name is Tamika Newton, better known to many as Amber C. Summers. She has a bachelor's degree in education, early childhood development, and family studies, a diploma in primary education. She's done some NTI Coursera courses. She's done social work practice, advocating social justice and change, the art and science of relationships, understanding human needs, finding purpose and meaning in life, living for what matters most, introduction to psychology, teaching popular music in the classroom, certificates in advocacy training, domestic violence and inter-partner violence, gender-based violence training of trainers, United Nations Women, and domestic violence training, Share Haven. This is Amber C. Summers. Good evening, Amber.
Hi, good evening. Good evening to everyone listening. Good evening, Barbados. Thanks for having me.
Well,
good evening, Sluggy.
Manners, and respect. Amber, that is a lot, though. Do you get to sleep?
Whoa. I think they have a saying to say sleep when you're dead, so I'm just doing as much as they can do.
Yes, yes.
While
doing
I'm
all of that.
Life.
Yeah, doing all of that. Still being a full-time school teacher, still a full-time mom. That is absolutely incredible, and we must salute you. We're glad we have a platform like this that could salute women like you. You know, that voice might not always be heard, you know, our stories may not always be told, and so many things that we can learn from people like you, you know, who went through it, came through it, and conquered on so many levels. And it's only right and fitting that we meet people like you, you know what I mean, star agents, you know, that doing such positive things. And they got big at the NTI, Ali, for always, you know, championing things like this. And it's so good that them and Coursera could team up to,
definitely,
you know, to give so much courses to Barbadians. And all these courses now are absolutely free. Barbados, all of these courses are absolutely free, and they are not time consuming, at your own pace, your own convenience. Short courses, but very detailed to the skills you need. So you got the bigger the NTI, training.nti.org.bb. So we can have a serious conversation this evening with Amity Summers, and especially seeing she's a early childhood education expert. There's so many behaviors in children, and especially when you grow up in certain cultures, and there's so many different cultures and cultural norms that we see as acceptable, you know, that we practice that are so wrong and damaging, you know, to each other. And a lot of those habits children pick up, and we can have a talk about that for sure, and some of the courses that she did with the NTI. So you gotta salute people like Amber Summers, who continue to do such an amazing job. So Amber, this evening is just a dedication and a salute to people in our community like you, who might be out there as well, who might have similar stories as yours, who might went through but overcome and conquer just like you. And then there might be others, Amber, that may feel, well, I can't, you know what I mean? So I'm sure this evening we will let them know that they absolutely can. All they just want to hear is some more Don't Cry by Your Hands here, and then we'll give them a special message from the NTI. Amber, salute to you, Queen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
18 minutes before 7 o'clock, a powerhouse of a song, Sluggy.
Yeah. Yes, and it got to big up. Salute, Crystal Cummings Beckles. No holder. Have to salute her, man, and a boss songwriter. She's a fabulous musician, too, you know. But as a songwriter, she's absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think, you know, we say, you know, especially if it's Crop Over Cameroon and they're the competition, we might say, but they, you know, outside of that, forgotten. But Crystal, if you're out there, you're listening, or anybody listening, like, you are absolutely amazing and certainly one of our queens for sure. And that's a talent that I would love to see continue working with the youth of Barbados, especially. I think she got a special gift and something really special to offer Barbados, you know. And definitely, I just want to show my praises in for no reason. It's not her birthday, you know. She's not in any competition. It's not for no reason at all. It's just saluting great artists and creatives that are on a different level. And she's certainly on a different level to everybody else. So, Crystal Cummings Beckles, salute you. And Ahanjia, wonderful singer, you know what I mean? Fantastic voice. So, salute to you as well. You know, wishing you all the best. You know, let's pushing you all the way. Because art like this and music like this and stories like this, like these, need to be told. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we got to help create that balance. And that was Uncle Sluggy here for. Now, we have Amber C. Summers. Good evening to you. You know, we continue to salute our community heroes, you know, and people that we think need spotlight shown on them, and that's what we're here for. So, good evening, Miss Summers. How are you?
Good evening. I am great. I'm great. A bit tired, but grateful.
That's good. So, since the pandemic, you know, and we was inside for a bit, know that you're back outside and children in the classroom. How was that readjustment between you and your students, you know, coming off of online teaching only, then integrated back into the classroom, but keeping them apart? And we know children learn by habit mostly. So how was that readjustment from a teacher's standpoint? And then they want your standpoint as a parent.
Okay. To be honest, I was really excited. I was really excited when, you know, when we got back up, because this was basically the first time I would have been seeing the children face to face, because we would have had two terms, basically a term and some online. I was really excited because I'm the kind of person, I'm very creative. I try to find all kinds of ways. Sometimes I don't be successful, but I try to find all types of ways to create a learning environment that is conducive to each child. And in the home environment, it was each child, because everybody learned differently and everybody don't catch on things the same. So I try to tap into the ones that like dancing, the ones that like to sing, the ones that like to write, the ones that like to draw, or the ones that just like to look at pictures. I tend to tap in to make sure that each child at some point in time, they can grasp the concept within that session. Sometimes it can be very challenging, but I always up for the challenge because I am very passionate about my job. I see it more than just a paycheck. I live for my students. I remember when I was in isolation, battling with COVID, high blood pressure, all them kind of things, I was still teaching. I didn't accept the fact that I have to be in this place for 14 days and my children out there, and already, you know, it was a challenge online. So I said, you know what? I told my principal, ma'am, I'm going to fight this through, because seeing the children was, you know, gave me the strength to keep fighting on. So that was one of the things. I would do anything to ensure that the children within my care reach the greatest heights. You know, I love teaching. I remember how negative words from teachers would have affected me at a young age. And I always said, I want to be that teacher that place a mark, a lasting mark on these children, but not in a negative way, but yet in a positive way, that even when I am old, and have my false teeth and stuff like that. Maybe one of them might be a doctor or a dentist and can give me a free something. And all of them might be able to still give me a little free checkup or something.
Yes.
So I believe I was really excited. I look forward to getting there every day to see the children's faces. It was a bit challenging because they had to transition from online to the face-to-face. So, you know, they're now seeing everybody for the first time. So they can be talking. They'd be trying to tell them, okay, you know, you're going to still stay 6 feet, you're 3 feet apart. You got to wear your mask. But it's fun. It's fun. As a teacher, it's fun. But as a parent, that was a challenge for me because my son was at a different school. My daughter is at the same school, but in a different class. And the timings, there are times that my son would have missed one of his classes because then 9:30, I all into teaching my class and completely forgot that he had to go online because daddy at work, my big son at school, and then the internet dropping out.
Yeah, showed up 3D. Showed up 3D. No, you see big son, showed up 3D. You know what I mean?
3D, yeah.
Talent, yes, glory. That's means my singer, boy. That's dance, my boy. Singer, dancer.
Singer, dancer, songwriter. You
know? Yeah, songwriter.
He was in everything.
He was in the junior soccer minor also. And I figure you could all look out for him, 3D. Yeah, yep. Big ups. Go ahead.
Good boy.
Strangers had showed up.
He was a youngster. Yeah, he used to try his best when he was off, but there were times that something would happen on the computer and I would have to stop my class and ask for excuse and go and deal with them to make sure that they're online. There are times that I turned off my camera and joined Brit when the children went off the Brit. I sat down and prayed because it was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to turn to. Listen, and medicine is picking up the phone and calling one of the senior teachers because they've got the same challenges as well. So I used to just pray and ask God to give me a way, and he used to constantly, this voice would constantly remind me. Yeah, it would be constantly reminding me the reason why I'm doing it. And I would always say, you know what, I'm doing it for the children. Weird. I can fight this for the children. I am worried about if I feel stressed out, if I feel tired, if I feel hungry, I'm just doing it for the children. And I see the benefits of it. I really see the benefits of the being committed. I think being committed and dedicated to a job is what matters. And these children will be the future of tomorrow. And if that we want them to be successful and law-abiding citizens and all these things, we need to start from young. And that's the class they got in the reception class with little babies.
Yes. Listen, and I heard you say there's no sound here. That's in between. You just gonna cry and ask the Lord to help you because of how difficult it was. That's a conversation I was having today, but like, I don't think that many of us still grasp the magnitude of the situation. You know, and having to navigate this online world, working for a living, because if you get an opportunity during the pandemic, like we did, to continue working, we can grasp the opportunity, you know what I mean? But still, you're home, you got to take care of your children too, because they're in the same space. And like you say, it might be a case where daddy at work, you know what I mean? Daddy got to go to work, especially if he's doing one of the jobs that you got to be out there on the front line. And then mommy have to be home working online, but dealing with the kids, and especially that you working with children, you know, you see the importance of how important it is, you know, to make sure your children online getting the most of what you can give them online under the circumstances. But then trying to make sure your children get the most out of you as a parent too, because you realize that the education starts home for the children. That's a very unique, very, very unique balance that I figure a lot of teachers in Barbados, a lot of both male and female, but I figure that is a unique situation that the teacher, a group of teachers that experience navigating that world. It must be tough. You touch on a subject there that got my phone going mad. when you say that you knew what certain words teachers say to you, you knew how they would affect you. And that helped shape the decision and the type of teacher. Sorry, you want it to be. That is very interesting, because you know, like ramshot conversations, Ollie, some men would talk about the teachers in the past, and on here too, on VOB a lot too, we talk about the teachers in the past, you know, how strict it was. You know, the teacher would go bamboo and he would beat you You know what I mean? Tell some cruel things and I beat you, tire you behind. Some men would say that. And then some men would say, well, they don't agree with our practice. That way it's still a teaching. But there's still a group of Barbadians, probably but majority, who think, well, that way is absolute discipline, you know what I mean? That still and that tough love and that hardship is the way to bring up a child, you know what I mean? And then there's some who say, well, nah, we gotta lead with love from as early as possible, because children is pick up habits. Mm-hmm. When children pick up these habits of love from early, it will affect the type of adult this child will become later. But then there's some believe in the other way, and we're having this conversation, Amber Ollie and I and Dr. Hunt and Miss Braff and so on, about identity and so on, a cultural identity and where a lot of these things come from. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to say why we love the beating so much and the harsh treatment and the cruel words. Is for me, it's quite evident why we think that is discipline and that's how children should be brought up. No, that is tough love. But I know where it come from. I know it come from us getting treated like that. You know what I mean? From certain persons, like from our masters, like Ollie, like, and Barbados, you could read as well, 434-1790, 434-1790. Some people say you must have, listen to my question, some people say we must have a balance. You know, sometimes tough love, the strictness, the beating that's necessary, and then give the children love also. Some people say, no, they don't believe in that balance. The beating is a colonial thing that we learned from our slave masters in the past that teach us that's the way to bring up children. Some people say that. Some people say no, it's just discipline. I want to hear your thoughts, Barbados, on that, because a lot of all believe in your teachers that you was strict and used to be. He helped shape me to be the man and the woman I am today. You hear that a lot, Ollie. So you want to hear Barbados' views on the different styles, especially raising as a parent and as a teacher. 434-1790. But for you, Ollie, your thoughts on what Amber said about how certain words affect her as a child, as a teacher. Like how deep Sluggy, and important that is, Ollie. Take it away.
We all went to school, Sluggy. We all went to school. And no matter what age you reach, no matter what age you get to, you can always look back at your school days. And there's some teachers who had an impact on you, whether negatively or positively.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems as if this lady is extremely positive. She wants to leave a long-lasting positive effect on these young children's lives. That's amazing, Sluggy.
Yeah, which is a futuristic way to think. Like she's Amber is thinking, well, what is going to be like in the next 50 years, you know what I mean, and the generation she want to lead, which is different. Like Amber, why that part stuck out to you, especially like this happened to you, like you was talking about how teachers made you feel as a child, but you as an adult know, you are cognizant of it. You make sure that is your focal point of the words I say. Because they don't feel that we study these things enough. The words we say, and a word is a very powerful thing. You know, we spell a word, and a witch is cast a spell. So a spelling is extremely powerful. That way words are so powerful. But why, Amber, why was that so important to you, the words and how you speak to the children?
I remember when I was going to school, you know, you would hear, oh, you ain't know nothing, you don't see. And sometimes they know that you ain't confident in certain areas, and they'll always try to put you on the spot, not for you to just to talk, but just as a way of probably of embarrassment to just say, see, you don't know, you in the class, and you know, there are a lot of things that I heard that some people say, you know, you and they could break your family this, and that is what this is. I mean, it's like one that had to tell me, told me it would never amount to nothing. And that is something that I carried long through my life. And it was like, if that somebody tell me that I ain't amount to nothing, I find myself making some real bad decisions in life that really caused me not to amount to nothing.
Just cut out. Listen, but we have a, it's so great. We have a caller. I guess I probably my earphones. We have we have a caller online, so we can listen to this caller. Good evening. You're with Amber C. Summers, who is an educator and an activist. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
Hi. Good evening.
Yes, please.
Amber, good evening to the moderators.
Yes, please.
Good evening.
Now, hear this accent of mine, eh? But don't be fooled by it. I was raised by Bajans.
Yes.
Non-beating Bajans.
Well, thank you for calling. Let's go. Let's go. I'm listening.
Okay.
Mute me, Ollie. I'm listening. Mute me.
You know, there was times in my neighborhood, kids used to really get beat badly. I mean, really badly. I mean, abused. And I was raised in Canada. They would show me the scars on their back and everything. And I always said to myself, whenever I have a child, I'm going to be like my mom. And I was. Talk to my child. Don't put my hands on my child. That's my flesh and blood. Why am I going to put my hands on my flesh and blood? This is a child I have to live with for the next 18 years. What will they be doing to me when I get old and I can no longer take care of myself? Are they going to abuse me in the same way that I abuse them? Every time I drop my tea, are they going to lick me in the face? Are they going to brutalize me? I am against corporal punishment, and I've said it for the last 22 years I've been in Barbados. It needs to stop. I understand by the time a child's five and you've trained that child properly, it should know from your eye looks. Remember how our parents used to look at us? They cut their eyes at us? This is grown people's talk. Get out of the room. And you knew to get out of the room. You know, I think we should take the good with the bad. There's a lot of things our grandparents and our parents taught us. They were good things. But all that other garbage like beating a child because it doesn't know its multiplication and it can't sing the song properly or it can't recite the poem that it's supposed to learn in Sunday school. No, that's nonsense. That's wickedness. And I don't believe that you beat what you love. Sorry, if I had a mother who beat me every day, by the time I was 13, I'd say to myself, this woman don't love me. I might as well leave as soon as I can get a job or a man and get out of this house.
This woman don't love me. That's powerful. Like this, don't go yet, Carl. Don't go yet. Amber, hearing as
yes,
as an educator, right? Because you can break this down for us. Hearing the lady speak and the experiences she went through and how she saw certain things, and she's talking about not fully agreeing with the beating and wondering if these people are going to abuse her. Like how her mindset was, like how you think that these things are damaging to children more than they are disciplining them? And what's your thoughts on what she said?
But as a mother, I remember I got lashes and stuff coming up. And even though that it was a form of my mother correcting me or disciplining me or because they didn't listen, coming ears, they're all backwards, you know, that was the way. And I think it goes from how your mother was raised. So if my mother was raised by her mother lashing her as a way of showing love or whatever they call it, when it comes to me, when I get my children, I'm going to do the same. And everybody's got the same. Yeah, so it's learned until you get to the point where, because there are times that I would lash my children and then something, like if I got to punish them, they would say, no, mommy, don't punish me. You can lash me, because nowadays the children just believe that a lash will just go away and then we'll go back to normal.
No, right? No, that's real.
Children have got, the lashes don't really... To me, lashes don't help the children just laugh and just don't take it on. They don't take it. Because if you lash them, are you lashing a child and the child laughing and the child crying, you can get angry, you can probably hit each other and break some part of each other and get in problems.
Because if you lash a child for discipline, you gotta abuse it for it to feel. Because if you just lash me normal, like at the child, don't care how soft I am, dang, you do me nothing. It's just
nothing.
A lash. But you got to abuse me for it to mean a lesson. So you got to actually hurt me for me to hear from these lashes. Otherwise, it's just like...
But it has a long... Dangerous. It has,
Mr. Moderator, can I say something?
Of course, ma'am. Go ahead.
What I want to say is, I don't believe in corporal punishment.
Me neither.
But I know kids, during their formative years, you know, they go to touch the electricity or... stick their finger in it, a little tap on the finger, and you go, no,
Right.
No.
Right. That's not abuse.
Mommy says
right. That's reassurance.
No.
Yeah. That's.
And you say it a number of times. It's like, I hate to compare children to puppies, but those I know best and those have I had around me. I've trained plenty of dogs and I've trained, not trained, raised. Big difference. Raised children.
Yeah, but we all learn from behavior just like the puppies. And I'm a man, love dogs as well. And I know for a fact. That's how you raise you. That's how you train dogs. And I know for a fact from as Barbara just know all of my young people. That's how I trick the young people. I just walk and talk it, and they just follow me by habit instead of me preaching it.
And then listen.
You understand? It's the same concept as when I dealing with dogs. I made some harsh barbers, but that's the truth. You know what I mean? And a child is extremely easy to manipulate, whether it's for positive or negative, and it means super easy. Most adults are easy to manipulate also, positively and negatively also.
Manipulate them every day. But another thing is, back in the day, the parents didn't have the tools they could use against us like today.
Well, yes, and we're going to talk about that when she finishes.
Take away that cell phone from them for a week, and every time they give you an extra word, their mouth open, you say, that's another week. That's another week without your cell phone. What are you going to be beating on a 14 and 15-year-old person for to get arthritis when you get 65 years old?
It's so true.
Any child is worth that.
It's so true. Colin, love you for calling. All we got more calls. Your phone is going crazy.
I love this program. Keep it up because we need to speak this out. We need to talk it out.
Listen, quickly before you go, and I want Barbara to call and weigh in on this discussion. Also, we have an expert with us, Amber, and she's gonna talk about how it damaged her and how it would damage other young people and the signs she see from early in certain children that she would have missed in herself and so on. We're gonna let Amber, we can speak of that and go into in depth in that. But I want Barbara to call and weigh in on this beating thing and how effective it really is. I'm totally against it, especially within our culture. But Carla, quickly before you go, I want you to just tell us one more time why you are so opposed to corporal punishment within our Caribbean culture, especially Barbados.
I think it encourages kids to lie, to be sneaky.
Yes, listen to these things, Amber, because we can expound. Go ahead, ma'am.
Lie, sneaky. Because they're going to avoid the beating, so they're going to lie, and they become little liars. And I'm going to tell you how I know this. My brother and sister spent their formative years in Barbados with the whole family. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Everybody lives a house. Everybody got a shack around the granddaddy's house.
It's true.
And everybody is disciplining the child. Right?
Yes.
But when my mother first came to Barbados and she had me when she came to Canada and she had me the first child, I used to watch her. She used to tell them, go get a stick. And my older brother and sister would go bring a stick. And I would sit there at 4 years old with my hands on my hips and say, these are some stupid kids. She's going to beat them with the stick and they're going to get the stick and stand there and they're not allowed to cry because I used to hear her.
Interesting how you analyze that because that was
us. Bare lashes.
Like, that was us.
And she go, yeah.
So imagine we're so stupid as children, though. It was like that, too. I would go for the belt. Imagine we were so brainwashed into thinking that these people made us think that this is a real loving way to raise a human being. This is how you correct things. You know, if a child do something wrong, beat it. You know, was teaching a child this is how you correct problems. Like, man, Carla, I appreciate you calling so much.
I will call back, but I really like the great job you're doing. I'm glad I'm home tonight because I'm sneaking out with the old people tonight down the street before I get too late and get back home. But I really enjoy this. We need more of it. And Amber, you need to bring her on more often.
That we're
so
talking
she can
about.
Explain to these younger women. Stop getting so frustrated. If you're sexually frustrated, you know what to do. Don't beat your kids and take it out on them. Because a lot of that back in the day, it was sexual frustration.
Ooh.
Trust me on that.
And that's
Have a good evening, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much. The Amber, that's possible, you know, she speak about sexual frustration and so on. And thank you, Barbados. 434-1790. Absolutely enjoyed that call. I wanna thank you, lady, for calling in. Thank the callers that is messaging as well. So Amber, she was saying that she think that the beating in some cases teach the children to lie and be sneaky. That a powerful thing, like your thoughts, thoughts on that.
To be honest, it when you look at it, sometimes as wish from her point of view, she was saying that, you know, they were like to just get away from the beating,
which means the millionaire lesson.
And just really thinking about it, really making me look at it different, because they really never look at it from that.
Me, like,
I think I was thinking that more if it lashed them, and if they know they get beaten, we tell the truth. But she know, open up a part of my brain, like really saying, but that a highlight, but like really and truly, because sometimes I remember as a child, you know, I would get my lashes and stuff. And then I realized that even into adult, even in some my relationships that I was in, I was then a victim of domestic violence. And all I was hearing then is that this is, I doing it because I love you. So it's like, this thing is a real serious thing. Lashes as a child. So imagine me getting lashes as a child. My mother's teaching me, say, well, you know, I'm going to lash you because they turn to talk to you and they frustrated and they stress out and you were not here. And I get the lashes, and that was to show that she loved and she care. And then as an adult, I was getting the lashes, the thumps, the blows as a way of my partner showing me that he cared and it wasn't listening or something like that. So it's like this thing has a real serious effect, because I don't know if that my partner probably was abused as a child or saw some type of abuse as well. So it starts from, as the caller said, as a child. So if you can get it right, find another way. If you have to lash, you know, you lash the child, but
love
let that be the last resort, if that makes sense.
I totally get you.
The first option, you get them something.
Caller? Free caller?
You get them.
Let's go. Amber, listen, Amber, you got the phone lines hot, yes, girl. Again, it's so much messages, people telling me, Sluggy, bring on Amber some more. We absolutely love you. And the caller before said it as well. Listen, she's not new to this. She's an absolute professional, and when it comes to doing radio and so on, she's extremely good at that as well. Just that she don't speak about it a lot. She's talented, man. She's brilliant. And we can get into more of that if you speak about domestic abuse and the things she accepted because of the certain behaviors she learned from young. But we can get into that. But good evening, caller. Welcome to Pigeon Rhythm and Rhyme. Thanks for calling.
You might have to turn on your radio, sir.
Turn off the radio till you finish, please.
Sorry.
No problem.
Right.
Yes, please.
You can hear me clearly now?
Yes.
Yes.
You got your radio on still?
Well, when we talking about corporal punishment, I want to know exactly. Let me just give me a second, please.
Live radio.
We could go to the next call. Sir. He's ready. You ready?
Ready. Are you ready? Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Right. When we're talking about corporal punishment, right?
Uh-huh.
I know in times before, when the older people used to punish, I won't really call that, in terms of lashes, I won't really call that punishment, because it was a little extreme. I don't think that a little lash or two, you know, I don't think that we should, that corporal punishment, not having corporal punishment is totally, you know, will help totally 100%. Because if you know the older people, almost anything that nearby they get in their hand, they will throw at you, you know, and them sort of thing.
Yes.
Right? No, and these things, we are not going to do that. I believe if you sit down and talk to a child, explain to a child certain things, what you want to experience, tell them and teach them.
Yes.
You know, and you find that they do otherwise, and they do it more, they like do it more than once, more than twice, and then you might, you know, do a little proper punishment. But if you are level-headed and you don't spank a child out of anger, I think what really cause the children to be rebellious and all that is like when you beat them out of anger and like violently. You understand? I am one of those that had when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Right. But as I grow and I come to be a big man, I sit down because I will ask questions from my sisters and other older people and get information. And my parents might was a beaters just because of how they were brought up.
We got serious culture, boy. You know that. Then the first time I hear people refer to the parents like that. Like many people they hear refer to their parents like that. A beta is one of the parents hearing that. If that, like, man, I totally against this thing. That can't be now, love. And we have so many calls. Let's take a different call. Caller, I love and appreciate you so much for calling. Let's take a different caller. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. You're here with Embassy Summers. We've got the phone lines hot.
Other people get information.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Am I on air?
You are, yes, live, please. On Voice of Barbados.
You are live on air.
Okay, great. Good evening.
Yes, please.
So in agreement with, you had two callers that I've heard so far.
Yeah.
I agree that lashes can be a deterrent. And I think that oftentimes those within the school system, parents as well, administer lashes out of frustration.
Yeah.
When it is done from a loving point of view, a loving standpoint, the lashes are not, they're not beating. And they're not done from
anger. How you beat someone? How can you beat someone from a loving standpoint? Like, how that is possible? You beat somebody from a loving standpoint? Like, you
no,
understand
I,
me?
No, I feel when they're done, when the lashes are given angry, then that's a beating.
Right, so you can tell me that you love someone. You're not angry. You're not someone. You love someone and you are not angry, but you're beating them. You happy to beat them?
No, I wouldn't say that.
So you understand
it? It's situational.
Yeah.
I do believe that it's situational.
Okay.
Because of how I was raised. I had a mom that she was not a firm believer. She did not like lashes at all. My father, on the other hand, he was of the belief that you spare the rod and you spoil the child.
I would never be. I would never listen to me, right? And I want fathers out there hear this. No, I did sluggy. I would never beat my girl child to show her discipline. Me, sluggy, and you can ask my daughter this, and I raised my daughter and many other girl children. You can ask any of that. Tiffany Roy is my niece, but I raised her as my child from a baby. My own child, Kalia Watson, you can ask her. I would never beat my child, you know what I mean? Like, so that I could show it that I love it, you know what I mean? Like to me, that is absolutely crazy. We have more calls, Ollie. Go ahead, man.
I just wanted to add this.
Go ahead.
I've had some teachers. Now, then, in all of my time at school, I did not receive corporal punishment many times at all. Maybe twice. And the few times, there was one particular French teacher. This woman, the lashes that she gave her tongue were worse than any lashes that I would have received.
That's something Amber spoke about as well.
Yes, and I feel that if there must be a balance. If you are going to administer corporal punishment, like the first Canadian caller, don't do it out of frustration. If you have something going on at home, just leave the people's children. And it goes with your tongue as well. If you know that you are frustrated, try not to have much to say in addition to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it can have very lasting effect.
Very.
I think what you're doing is a fantastic job, and I commend you. Keep it up,
ma'am. I thank you so much for that. Thank you for your call. All you can take a few words from the NTA. We have a course there that you can read out a few information about the course, and then Amber after all you read out this information from the NTA. And thanks to NTA for making this possible. I want you to speak about before you studied early childhood education, then after you studied it, the things you realized you were doing wrong, and the things you think we can, the techniques we think we can employ when dealing with our children as a professional, as someone who studied early childhood education, certain things we can employ to help our youth. And then you were speaking about domestic abuse and certain behavior you think that you learn and avoid because you're thinking, well, I probably said the wrong thing or I probably deserve it. You can then you're gonna speak to that after. So first I want you to speak on things you learned during your early childhood education that you think can help us all, and then you can speak about the connection with learning certain behaviors and domestic abuse and how you were able to overcome it, and things you think that young ladies in particular could look out for or not do or not get lured in by. We can speak about those things after this message from Ollie. People, we are with Amber C. Summers. So have the phone lines getting hot, and for sure bring her back many, many times. That's my sister, an absolute gem to Barbados. Ollie.
Okay, so this week we feature a set of courses that focus on education as well as social and emotional intelligence. We offer the opportunity for every Barbadian to enroll free courses at training.nti.org.bb.
Free.
Free. Let's talk about the course Blended Learning, Personalizing Education for Students. Plenty of buzz exists about blended learning and its transformational potential. But what does blended learning really mean? In this course, we will explore the different models of blended learning and dive into key issues that impact students, teachers, and schools. A few of the key topics will include the role of the student and how to support students in the transition from traditional to blended learning, implications for teachers in their day-to-day work and overall role, impact of the way schools are designed, including staffing models, use of time, hardware, software selection, and the use of data, implementation challenges, potential solutions, and remaining open questions. It's beginner level, offered by the New Teacher Center, and it takes approximately 9 hours to complete.
Just 9 hours at your own pace and absolutely free. That is so wonderful. training.nti.org.bb. We have about 10 minutes left, you know. This next 10 minutes, we're going to dedicate this to strictly to Amber C. Summers. You know, if you get phone calls at the end, we will take a few. But we're going to dedicate this to Amber because we want her to speak about when she studied early childhood education and the different things she learned that was surprising to her that could really help us. And then once she made that connection about certain behaviors and accepting domestic and accepting certain abusive behaviors from people and how she thinks she fell into that place and how she can help young ladies come out and the signs to look for, especially from us men. You understand? Amber C. Summers, this next 10 minutes is yours. Good evening, my sister. Thanks for making the radio station burn up today.
Yes, please. I will be back anytime you need me. I'll be back. I think I have something to share in any area that you have, you know, anything with positivity, I am here. And if I don't know it, I can do some research and bring some philosophers to the table. Before early childhood education, I would have looked at education from what I was taught, or I was seen, I have seen throughout my arms, something past it, throughout my school life. Y'all can hear me now? Yes. So let me just repeat. Before the degree, I did Erdiston. So before Erdiston, I basically looked at education from what I saw as a child coming up and in from primary into secondary school. So what I saw is what I thought was education, basically. This is what you're supposed to do. When I went into Erdiston then and I did early childhood education, is like a lot of things sounded, just hold a minute. Okay, good. I was fast back. So a lot of things then start like become a bit confusing. Like they were say one thing, I saw one thing at school, but then at Erdiston, it was no learning that, you know, we're supposed to be objectivist teachers and stuff like that, and reflective teachers. Now, I didn't want to be reflective or nothing like that, but it caused me to then reflect back to places that I didn't want to go back. And that is one of the key things that makes you a good teacher, to be a very reflective teacher. Means that you be honest with yourself and you look at things that you did wrong or you could have done better. When I move on then to my degree, that is when everything went up in the air. It was like a whole different thing. I thought I was just doing a degree on education. But when they started to get into the topics, I remember they had this particular course. I just remember this course all the time. It was called Foundations for Learning Success. And this was one of the course that I was really excited when I hear this Foundation for Learning Success. But in order for me to be successful, I really understood what this course was about. In order for me to be successful, I had to face my truths. I had to face some very dark, dark, dark things about me that I tried to hide behind a smile for many years. And there are times that we had to reflect, write this journal. I started about writing about my life and the experiences that I had. And there are days that I sat in front of the computer and I cried. I wanted to break up the computer. I wanted to literally take the computer and strangle one of them tutors, because it was like, well, they were really coming, got me doing this. Well, I ain't gonna be doing this here. Well, I just want to do this degree and just be a teacher to teach. But then as I got deeper in this thing really caused me to let go a lot of things that probably carry into a classroom and affect my students in a negative way. And this course really taught me how to be reflective. It taught me how to let go of unwanted or some behavior that I would have learned to hold on to, because that is all I think that I had. And it also taught me to be truthful and be honest with myself. Very, very honest. And because of that, I am now at a better place where that when I look at the way that I deal with my children, I will be like, you know what, you could do better.
Yeah.
You could do better. You could find something else to get these children to understand. It keeps me on my toes, because I have to keep remember these children nowadays, this set of children that we have are little challengers. They like to question you and ask you why something cannot happen and why it is this teacher. And when they say it on my YouTube, or when they say it, they say, but why? They're always with why. If it's one letter that you can guarantee, they can know why. And the H in there.
Yeah.
Why? So why, teacher? So why? And you always have to have. But normally, I don't beat down my students. Whenever they come to me with something and I don't have the answer right now, I tell them, I ain't sure what to tell you right now, but just give me a day and come in again. They know why we should not do this or why. And there's a lot of things that you learn from children. And I always remember when it was doing my teaching practicum years ago, I remember that I had this little girl and I was teaching, my tutor was there and everybody, you know, you want to teach this excellent lessons. And I remember we was doing sex, putting things in the groups. And I told the class, take four cards from this group on the table. And everybody put four. You know, you didn't hear that, you know, that the teacher said that we only put in four. This little girl had eight cards in front of her. I didn't say to myself, well, no, this children are gonna mark me. Don't know for this. Well, I don't know. I tell the little girl four and she got eight. I said, but you were wants to choose four. And she said, I know, teacher, there's two groups of four. Humble me right up.
Woo!
I was like, really? Two groups of four. And it was like, it just goes to show that she was probably having some kind of assistance from the mother at home. But she was able to tell me, teacher, well, this is it. Yeah, you tell me pull out four, but I don't put my four again for another four. And I smiled, and I to this day, if I see her, I just always tell everybody this story, because I am not the kind of person that likes to hide. I like to show people the real me,
yes,
the good and the bad. So when you hear me talk, when you bring me back on to talk, domestic violence. That'll be a whole other session.
Well, listen,
We talk about education. We can correct. Come back for domestic violence.
Well, listen, for sure. All of these the phone is going mad. But you hear the calls for yourself. The phone is going mad. The people calling still. So we are going to come back for sure and talk about domestic violence and so many other things. As long as you are free next week, 6:30, we do part two, because domestic violence, we can touch it.
Why you decide
to do the you got 5 minutes? We got 6-7 minutes? Oh, we got 7 minutes, and we good. Big up VOB. You see what VOB's nation number one? We got 7 minutes. Big up VOB. So go ahead and see what you want to talk about.
I was looking at my phone there because some people were messaging me and telling me how much of an inspiration I am for them.
Listen,
because I don't do it. I don't do it for the fireworks and the balloons and the drums and everything. I do it to inspire somebody.
But listen, Tammy for in person. You know the road. You know the road you travel, and like all of us, you know, coming from certain backgrounds, you know, navigating life from young, right? How these certain courses would have helped you to correct Tammy, the little girl, or other little girls that were made me. So you do social work practice, advocating social justice and change. How did that help you to realize a lot of things that you were doing at a younger age that you could probably help out the youth now with? Much better by knowing these things, so they make mistakes that you and I made, like the social work practice and the advocating social justice and change, you know, or the art and science of relationships, understanding human needs. Those courses you did, I want you to speak about how some or all of these courses would have helped you and how.
Well, I can say that all of them would have impacted the person that I am now, you know. This was like a little, as people were saying, the icing. I don't want to see icing on the cake, because when we put on the icing, I believe that that's the end of the cake. I think this is a little ingredient, because I'm still, you know, I'm still mixing up. I'm not any icing on the cake. I am baked here. I just still adding my little ingredients, so that when I step out, and it's full cake, you know what I mean? I follow.
Yes.
But the one with advocated for the social work practice, which was the advocating for social justice and change, it taught me that in order for me to really to be an impact, we got to start with ourselves. If we want to see a change somewhere, we got to start just blabbering and making noise about the problem and just come up with a solution and work towards the solution. If that, start with yourself. And I think that when Michael Jackson had this song, it starts with the man in the mirror. But Edmund Yerwa went further and said, it's not the man in the mirror, but the man inside of me. Because when you move away from the mirror, it disappears so easily. So I always believe in being the change that I want to see. I didn't know all these things before, so me talking very pretty, don't think that I had all this here. But these little courses through the pandemic caused me to look at my life differently. So it's for the social work, the advocacy for social justice and change, that taught me to really look at myself and look at the things that I would want to see different and how I have impacted to the problem. Because I don't think that I impact the problem. I had to do something at some point in time that was impact to the problem. So when I acknowledge the fact, even though it wasn't directly, all the readers have, whether I saw something that kept my mouth shut, I was part of the problem. My thing was to find a way that I can be part of a solution. That was for the social justice and change. I think the one with the understanding the art and science of relationships, I think that for the years I was finding myself in some relationships that I was very, it was a bit, but it's when it was physically, emotionally, psychologically, it was a part of it. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people that would, and verbally, there were a lot of people that would say, well, she want to advocate for for domestic violence, and she's still getting beat. But little did they know that even though that this was happening, it was a part of my journey. And I could tell people, yes, I was still getting abused, even though I was advocating for it. But that stopped me from still advocating for something. That is the thing that I was doing. I was doing something positive. So even though you were thinking, she advocating and she's still getting beat. Okay, well, it can be, and I still advocating for it. Because at the end of the day, I can be still able to tell people that through it all, the violence that kept me fighting on. Even though I would be enjoying it, I ain't giving up because I can help somebody at some point of time.
Together.
But the one that really, and it taught me about not healing from one relationship and going into another and carrying all the baggage from one relationship and not allowing the person that I am now in the relationship to love me the way I should be loved because that I still holding up on the ones that would have treated me bad. That is one of the things that really made me look at relationship different. And it would have thought, I thought, partner, you know, I need to step back from the relationship and let me work on me because I don't want to be giving you myself and all the other partners that I have because then you'll be in a relationship with everybody. I just want it to be me. Whoa, so I had to start dropping off peace. I still getting going through it, but I'm not as bad as I was before. I working on me and in terms of me working on me might be able to help him work on himself or work somebody else work on himself because people help one. And look at the domino effect. I help you lick down the domino and be gone clear. But the one that really made me woke up was the final purpose and meaning in life, living for what matters. And one of the questions that they asked me, that one is the one that really left me wondering because they asked you, one of the questions was, if when you die, what do you want placed on your tombstone? And I was like, huh? And of course, you asked me, but when they die, and it's like when he said, you know, this is one of the questions that a lot of people don't like to answer. And I sat down and I wrote to all of the things that I would want on my tombstone. I believe that I would have 15 tombstones when I did done with all these things. And then when it was finished now, the next question was, what are you currently doing to ensure that these things are placed on your tombstone? And I didn't do nothing. I simply, no. Whatever I be dedicated, my a mother, wife, advocate, all these kind of things. But it didn't really wake me up. So I didn't have to say, well, no, but if I want these things to go on my tombstone, I have to start somewhere. I had to go back and realize that I had a lot of scars that were not healed. I just had a little scab on the top, but really, truly, they still had a little information on the bottom. So it's like the slightest touch upon that day, it exposed the information. So basically, I was still hurting, but just trying to cover it up with a smile or a coat on my Facebook page or, you know, having a meaningful conversation with somebody. But these courses were very, 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 very helpful to me. These things have turned me into a gem. I believe that I would like to go back over and do them again then. You don't even know. And I would encourage other people to do them because everybody might not want to do the same courses, but they are beneficial. It keeps your mind focused and it gives you something to feel good about yourself. And I ain't regret doing them. I got about 5 more to finish. I had to stop the one about music for a while because I didn't realize that when I done one course, I got to go through and they want me to submit some recording with a keyboard. I don't even know where part C is from D. So, Stuggy, you gonna help me so you could do this recording?
No,
you gotta help me.
I got you.
You got to help me by encouraging everybody, young, old, in between. As long as you could turn on the computer and you could see what's going on there, do a course, do something. Do thanks to the NTIA and Coursera. They're doing a very good job and they have benefited from them and it will
listen, they want you Amber, hold on.
For real.
I want you to say that again to Barbados about the courses, okay, and the employees. Plug that for Barbados again for the NTO. I love it, man. I love it. The phone is good. Yes, have she back. Yes, don't worry.
Tell Barbados, Amber. Yes, I'm encouraging everybody tonight. Don't care how old you are, as long as you can get that computer turned on, is at your own pace. And the little thing about it, right? Even though that the week might pass or 2 weeks might pass, it gives you the opportunity to reset the deadlines. So you ain't got an excuse you can go back and you could be 56 and you want to do something. My mother is 56 years old and she knows doing auxiliary and the auxiliary nursing. We're proud of my mother at 56. There are other people they don't believe that they can't do something. Go for it. The only time you can't do it is when you're off. So you got the choice. Plug into the NTIA and Coursera courses. And we have a town hall meeting where we talk about all the little things that we do, because these same certificates, we can go into communities and help somebody in the community to be better, man. We got this here, Sluggy. We got this.
That's what you're talking about. Honestly, let me say this here, Barbados, right? Like, I honestly believe in what the NTIA is doing because I learned differently as well, Amber. You understand? I learned differently, and the NTIA having these courses free, they're not time consuming, no data charges or anything, you know what I mean? Internet and data charges, nothing so needed. Just get a device, log on, and go through step by step. This is something that I really believe in for real. So, big up the NTIA. For real, big up the NTIA. training.nta.org.bb. You know what I mean, Amber? You've been phenomenal. You were so good that you made VOB give us extra time, you know, and I love them for that. And that's because it's good voice. That's because your message is powerful. And that's because you were able to help a lot of people through your powerful words and understanding how powerful words are. And as you can see, Barbados calling by the numbers and send love and support. So I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. And Amber says she's down for a part two where we could really, yeah, where we could look at domestic violence, you know,
yeah,
and really take a deep dive into that and behaviors. But just want to thank you so much for coming through and saying goodbye, because we are back next week for part two. Amber,
you are
Amber
welcome.
C's taking over the station.
But I just want to apologize to all the callers who didn't make it on air tonight.
Don't worry, be back on next week.
Definitely.
Be back on. Don't worry, callers. The phone is going crazy, Amber, but I reassure them, Amber says she'll be here next week, and we touch on domestic violence, and you can call again and speak to her. She's a very loving lady, and she have no problem speaking to anyone, so I'm sure that she will second my comments by saying next week she'll be on, and y'all can feel free to call and talk to her. Amber, your closing words, but just from me onto Ali Hanover, I appreciate you, and I love you, and thank you so much for doing this for me, because for me it's all about learning, and anything we can learn from a woman, particularly a black woman, anything can learn from you all what not to do, how to be a better man, I grasp the opportunity. So I want to thank you so much for helping me out in that regard, my sister.
Yes, thanks for having me. Thanks, Ollie. Thanks, VOB 92.9 for having me. I am here whenever you need me. Anything to uplift and inspire somebody, I am in for 1,000. I will be back, so tune in next week at 6:30. We'll be back again as we look at some domestic violence and the impact from a child to adult. Oh, a song, Sluggy, man.
Bad. Amber C. Summers, Ollie, over to you, man. Ollie, before you go, when you end with that word on your phone, when you look for it quick and read the outlet. Barbara just heard that picture, the powerful message to our children. And out there, you got an open mic tonight, you know, Jacko's Place, Boom Bang Bar. If you're coming from Sky Mall, is your right turn after floor. If you're coming from Springer School, is the left turn before floor. Got open mic for all you. Lots of cash and prizes. Thanks to the NTA, thanks to the Division of Youth, thanks to the NCF. All talents come out, showcase your talent, win some money and win some prizes. Go ahead, Ollie, share that word. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan. I'm out.
Okay, an anthropologist proposed a game to the kids in an African tribe. He put a basket of fruit near a tree and told the kids that the first one to find the fruits would win them all. When he told them to run, they all took each other's hands and ran together. They then sat together, enjoying their fruits. When he asked them why they ran like that, as one could easily have taken all the fruits for oneself, they simply said, "Ubuntu, how can one of us be happy if all the other ones are sad?" This has been Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme. Thank you to the NTI. Thank you to Sluggy and also to Amber C. Summers. We'll be back next week.
Effective communication is what some people call a soft skill, but it can be hard to develop on your own. The National Transformation Initiative and Coursera are here to help with the course called Speaking to Inform, where you learn the art and skill of discussing complex ideas with clear explanations and, if necessary, with the help of slides. Log on to training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb and search for the course called Speaking to Inform. Or check out one of the other fantastic, free, fully accredited online courses available. You know why. Because you're never too good to get better.